Senator Bongo withdraws from next year's presidential race. Later on in the program, we'll tackle the presidential aspirations of Senator Pantelo Lacson and Manila Mayor Francisco Isko Moreno Domagoso with Partido Reforma spokesperson Ashley Acedillo and Moreno campaign manager Lito Banayo. Metro Manila to stay under COVID alert level 2 until the middle of December. And government administers nearly 2.5 million COVID vaccine doses on day 1 of the national vaccination drive. We'll get an update on day 2 of the campaign from our reporters in Bulacan, Iligan, Tacloban, and Albay. Hi, I'm Carolina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. For those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, nice to have you with us today. We begin with this development in the 2022 elections. President Rodrigo Duterte's personal choice to succeed him, Senator Bongo, has dropped out of the presidential race. Our very own Pia Gutierrez now joins us with details. Pia, what else can you tell us?
Yes, Carmina, that's right. Senator Bongo made a surprise announcement today when he announced that he is no longer running for next year's presidential elections. In an interview here in San Juan, he said that he is withdrawing his candidacy for president because he does not want to add to President Duterte's problems. He says he considers Duterte as his father and he doesn't want him to be trapped in the middle, as he noted how dirty politics in the Philippines could be. Because of this, he said that he is willing to sacrifice in the name of unity for their supporters. The senator, however, Carmina, refused to elaborate on this statement. He did not also confirm whether this had anything to do with the tandem of presidential daughter Sara Duterte with a former Senator Bongbong Marcos. As you can recall, Carmina, the senator had earlier hinted that he is having doubts about continuing his presidential run. And during his interview, Senator Go made it very clear that he really does not want to run for president and that he filed his candidacy in the first place because he only respected what the president and his party, PDP Laban, wanted for him. He added that his family also does not want him to run for president. Let's hear what Senator Bongo said a while ago.
Mahal ko po si Pangulong Duterte. Ayaw ko siyang pahirapan. Kaya po, sabi ko, wala po akong ambisyon. Kaya willing po ako mag-sacrifice for the sake of unity among our supporters po. Sa dumi po ng politika, along the way, mas mahirapan po si Pangulong Duterte dyan sa bagay niyan. So ayaw ko pong mahirapan na siya sa pangangampanya po sa akin. Sa sobrang bigla ko, nararamdaman ko po na talagang nagre-resist ang aking puso, isipan at katawan. Hindi ko po kayang mangampanya pag meron kang pasan-pasan. At ang pamilya ko po, ayaw talaga. From the very first day, nirespeto ko lang po ang kagustuhan ng partido at ni Pangulong Duterte.
Carmina, the senator said that he has already talked to President Duterte about his decision and that the president understands very well where he is coming from and that he has already accepted his decision to withdraw from this presidential race. But whether this means that the president would now support another candidate or another tandem for next year's polls, that has yet to be seen, because Go said that the president has yet to make a decision on that, but Go will support who the president will endorse for the 2022 elections. This also goes for PDP Laban, which has yet to release a statement about his withdrawal, because the senator's withdrawal will leave the party without a standard bearer for the 2022 elections. Though we have yet to see whether PDP Laban will form a coalition with the party of presidential daughter Sara Duterte Carpio, who is running for president or for vice president. Carmina?
Yeah, but Pia, we also know that President Duterte himself, that he will said himself that he will never support Bongbong Marcos. So where does that leave now Senator Bongo and also the president?
Unfortunately, Senator Go said that he cannot speak for President Duterte and that they have yet to talk about who the president will endorse next or who the PDP Laban as a party will also endorse for president and vice president yet. So that is something that we will be seeing in the next few weeks or next few days. What I know is that the PDP Laban, which is headed by President Duterte, will have a council meeting scheduled in the next in the near future. And they were supposed to talk about who they will endorse for vice president in that meeting. And with this development, Carmina, I think that you have a more important agenda to talk about, and that means who they will support for the 2022 elections, Carmina.
All right, we're going to have to leave it at that. Pia Gutierrez, they are joining us live from San Juan. Appreciate your report, Pia. Take care. Keep safe. Now, here's what other presidential contenders have to say about Go's withdrawal. Manila Mayor Francisco Isko Moreno Domagoso says he will not refuse a possible endorsement by President Rodrigo Duterte now that Go is out of the race.
Kung ako ang mapupusuan nila, salamat. Oh, thank you in advance. Oh, pero ayoko pa rin pangunahan sila until they say so. Life must go on. Me as a candidate, I have to continue the journey. And katulad nga nito, ngayong araw nito, ito yung mga inaing ng mga naghahanap buhay sa dalawang gulong. Lagi kaming gumagawa ng oras para makinig sa tao.
Presidential aspirant Leody de Guzman Miwal believes Go made the right decision.
Siguro maganda yun. Dapat na talaga huwag na magtangka ang mga Duterte na pumuesto pa sa magkakasensisyon ng ating pamahalaan. Dahil talagang masama ang karanasan natin sa halos taong taong pagpulang Duterte. Lahat halos talabak ay lahat ng karapatang mamahayag katulad ngayon. Yung karapatan ng pagbabuhay ay nalalabag. Kaya tama na kay Bongo na huwag niyo nang ibalik ang Duterte sa Malacanang.
One of the petitions to disqualify the late dictator's son, Ferdinand Marcos Jr., from the presidential race has been raffled off to the Commission on Elections First Division. It will be handled by COMELEC Commissioners Rowena Guanzon, Marlon Cascuejo, and Aimee Ferolino. The petition was filed by martial law survivor and human rights victim Bonifacio Ilagan. It centers on Marcos Jr.'s tax evasion conviction back in 1995, which the petitioner claims to have perpetually disqualified from disqualified Marcos from holding any public office. The former senator's camp has repeatedly claimed all the cases against him are merely nuisance petitions. More countries tighten their borders as the world assesses the threat of the Omicron variant, For South Africa's top infectious diseases expert, current vaccines and treatments should still be effective against it. More in this report.
Omicron's very emergence is another reminder that although many of us might think we're done with COVID-19, it's not done with us.
That was the head of the World Health Organization after a frantic weekend of headlines about the new COVID Omicron variant. Global governments are racing to assess the risk of this new strain, which has already been detected in many countries. Scientists say it could take weeks, and some are preparing for the worst. Israel and Japan, for example, have closed down their borders to foreigners. Other countries are reimposing travel and social distancing measures. But as of Monday afternoon, there have been no known deaths directly linked to Omicron. And in South Africa, part of the region where Omicron was first detected, government advisors, including a Columbia University disease expert, are saying vaccines should still be a major safeguard against it. This was Professor Salim Abdul with Columbia and South Africa's University of KwaZulu-Natal with the government on Monday.
Our current treatment still effective? Yes, smiley face, because we know that most of the things we use in our standard treatment protocols should be effective. Based on what we know and based on how the other variants of concern have reacted to vaccine immunity, we can expect that we will still see high effectiveness for hospitalization and severe disease, and that protection of the vaccines is likely to remain strong. Now, I don't know this definitively. The studies are being done. But based on what we know, we can expect that this is the likely scenario.
Vaccine makers, including Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and Pfizer's partner BioNTech, said they're already working on new vaccines specifically targeted to Omicron in case the current vaccines prove ineffective.
President Rodrigo Duterte opened to the idea of mandatory vaccinations against COVID-19. That's amid the threat posed by the Omicron variant. Duterte says government could use its police power to compel people into getting the jab. But the chief executive leaves it up to the COVID interagency task force to make a final decision. The IATF already approved the mandatory vaccination of public and private sector on-site workers.
Itong mga tao na ayaw talaga magpabakuna because of whatever, religious or I mean no offense. Pero yung ayaw magpabakuna, madali lang man yan. Mamili ka. Matagal kang mabuhay o gusto mo nang mamatay.
Duterte says he's also willing to bring back the face shield policy in public areas. Health Secretary Francisco Duque III expressed support for that move as well.
I would suggest to the task force to make a statement to whether or not really to pag magdating itong Omicron na to, since we have a dearth of data dito sa ano, in the meantime, it prudence would just dictate that maybe we'll be strict again, that kayo ang task force, you have to sort it out whether we have to reimpose the shield.
I think now, with the threat of this Omicron variant, it will be an added layer of protection that will really be good for the public.
There will be no further easing of health protocols in Metro Manila for the next 2 weeks. On Monday, the government announced the National Capital Region will remain under Alert Level 2 until December 15th. Alert Level 2 was also retained in several regions, including the Cordilleras, Central Luzon, Calabarzon, the Visayas, Davao, and the Bangsamoro region. The province of Apayao, meanwhile, will be placed under Alert Level 3. The Philippines administered 2.45 million COVID-19 vaccine doses on the first day of government's massive immunization program. Let's head on over now to Tacloban City for an update on the national vaccination days there. Our correspondent Sharon Evita joins us with the latest. Sharon, go ahead.
Yes, Carmina, hundreds of Tacloubanons took advantage of the holiday today to be vaccinated. A total of 8 vaccination sites were designated in Tacloban City, which includes Tacloban City Convention Center, malls, and schools. They were set up to reach the city's 12,800 target doses per day to be inoculated. According to the city health officer, Dr. Gloria Fabrigas, this figure is higher than the target given by the national government, which was pegged at 10,215. But if we look at the figures from the city health office, for the first day of the nationwide vaccination drive yesterday, they only reached a total of 7,402 doses. 4,822 doses of this were for the first dose, while the 2,580 were for the second dose. The city government of Tacloban, however, hopes that they will still reach the target, especially that they are still halfway of the 3-day vaccination drive. They encourage more individuals eligible for vaccination to get vaccinated while vaccines are still free and available. They're also hoping that more people will come to take advantage of the holiday today and, of course, in the coming days. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Sharon Evita there joining us live from Tacloban City. Take care, Sharon. Keep safe. And from there, let's now check on the vaccination drive in Iligan with Roxanne Arevalo. She joins us on the line. Roxanne, go ahead.
Yes, Carmina, the local government unit here is eyeing to inoculate or administer COVID-19 vaccines to 20,000 or more individuals daily during the three-day national vaccination program, which has started yesterday. There are 15 vaccination sites here and 4 mobile vaccination units deployed to the barangays in the hope that to get more people vaccinated. But based on the database monitoring that the Iligan City Police Office did, there were only more than 6,000 individuals vaccinated yesterday. Today, fewer people came, but those who came said they are getting vaccinated primarily to gain access to facilities and establishments that are restricting their services to non-vaccinated individuals. It can be remembered that earlier this month, Mayor Celso Regencia ordered that non-vaccinated individuals would not be allowed public transport and entrance to public places. Iligan City Police Office spokesperson Police Major Sander Panulong said this order has been temporarily suspended and that residents are given until tomorrow to get vaccinated before they would enforce the executive order again. Panulong said also warned against the use of fake vaccination cards. He said they were able to arrest 2 individuals in Barangay Buruan last November 25 for selling fake vaccination cards. Authorities will strictly be inspecting the authenticity of the vaccination cards. The City Health Office aims to vaccinate about 70% of the city's population by end of this year. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Roxanne Arevalo. Take care. Keep safe. And let's now head on over to the province of Albay, where the second day of the national vaccination drive is in full swing. Our correspondent Irene Perol now joins us with details. Irene, go ahead.
Carmina, the Department of Health Bicol targets to inoculate more than 1 million Bicolanos during the three-day national vaccination days to at least half the estimated 2.48 million Bicolanos who are unvaccinated yet. The vaccination is happening in more than 500 sites across the region. Bicol is among the regions in the country with the lowest percentage of vaccinated population, having achieved only 45%. The local health department aims to administer 384,000 jobs daily during this three-day nationwide activity to cover the 1.153 million target. Because adult population is at 6 million and to attain the 60 to 70% rollout, at least 3.68 million Bicolanos needs to be vaccinated. This number does not include yet the minors who are now allowed to receive the COVID vaccine shots. DOH Bicol released the partial data this morning. 163,285 jobs were administered yesterday, but this is just partial as they are still awaiting reports from the other municipalities. Bicol ranks 5th in the list with the highest number of vaccination during the first day of Bayanihan Bakunahan activity, according to DOH Bicol. The region has a total of number of COVID cases as of November 29 at 46,640 with a recovery rate of 86%, while deaths from COVID is numbering to 1,772 or 3.80%. There has also been a decline in the cases this past week, with the DOH bulletin yesterday recording only 2 COVID cases in the entire region. DOH Bicol is encouraging all unvaccinated Bicolanos to get their vaccines now and help the community achieve the herd immunity. Back to you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot, Irene. Keep safe and you take care. Irene Perol there reporting to us live via Zoom from Albay. Thanks again. In business, the Philippine Central Bank projects inflation to have slowed to 3.7% this month from 4.6% in October. At the very least, it doesn't expect the consumer price index to go beyond 4.1% due to rollbacks in fuel prices, as well as the appreciation of the peso. The BSP believes these will offset the uptick in the prices of food and electricity for the month. The National Privacy Commission launches an investigation into the recent spate of spam messages. It will look into whether telcos and payment platforms exercise due diligence in transacting with data aggregators that may have links to smishing activities. It has ordered Globe, Smart, and Dito to submit documents showing the specifics of their data flows and transactions with data aggregators. An interagency group has also been created to go after scammers. The NPC also sent similar orders to Union Bank and Globe FinTech Innovations, which operates mobile wallet GCash. The NPC earlier said data aggregators may be involved in the spread of smishing activities or text messages offering fake jobs. It added they could be legal entities tapped by companies to deal with telcos in sending out text blasts. I'm going to take a break now. Up ahead, we speak with the camps of presidential aspirant Senator Panfilo Lacson and Manila Mayor Isko Moreno. Former Magdalo Representative Ashley Acevillo and veteran political strategist Lito Banayo will be on the show for our segment In Focus. Stay with us here on Dateline Philippines. We'll be right back. We're back here. So with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. Senator Bongo withdraws from next year's presidential race. Metro Manila to stay under COVID alert level 2 until the middle of December. And government administers nearly 2.5 million COVID vaccine doses on day one of the national vaccination drive. Our next guests have been constant players in the political playground. One is a former military man turned lawmaker, and the other a veteran political strategist who helped put the current president into power. They now find themselves in opposing camps. The common goal, the presidency in 2022. Joining us today, former Magdalo Party List representative and now spokesperson for presidential candidate Ping Lacson, Ashley Acevillo. And former chairman of the Manila Economic and Cultural Office in Taiwan and now campaign manager for presidential candidate Isko Moreno, Lito Banayo. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us today.
Good afternoon, Carmina, and good afternoon, Congress.
All right, so let's first talk about the big news today, Senator Bongo dropping out of the presidential race. What do you make of this? How might this affect your campaign? We're going to go with former Congressman Ashley Acevillo first. Your thoughts on it.
Good afternoon, Carmina, and good afternoon to our televiewers. Incidentally, my candidate, Panfilo Lacson, was interviewed just a few moments ago. We had an event earlier today in San Juan. And all he wished his colleague in the Senate was he wished him well. And of course, he would not speculate as to the reasons behind it. He left it with the senator to explain. But that said, the message really was he wished Senator Bongo all the best.
All right, Lito, let me go to you. What do you make of this withdrawal and how might this affect your campaign?
Well, we respect Senator Bongo's decision to withdraw from the presidential race. And as he said, which I perfectly understand, he was primed up to run for vice president. But because of very dramatic and sudden events in the political landscape, he was forced to file for the presidency, which his family and he himself does not think is the right time for him. We respect that. And I really do not know how that will affect the presidential contest with him withdrawing. Even the surveys that have been run, I mean, the field research that has been run this week is now all useless, no, because of this change in the political situation.
Let's talk about endorsement. The senator was mum about that when he was ambushed for an interview earlier today. Would you welcome such a thing, Ashley, that Senator Bongo might just endorse your candidate? Is that something that you would welcome? Or at this point, would you consider it a kiss of death?
Well, incidentally, that question was also asked earlier today. And I would just like to re-echo what my candidate said. He does not want to speculate on that matter because to this point, that's not yet on the table, and he does not have any discussions, in fact, with the administration or with the PDP Laban. So any response from him on that point would be futile at best and speculative at this point. So we will leave it at that.
We have a soundbite, though, from Mayor Isko Moreno Lito saying that he will welcome any endorsement from Senator Bongo. What do you think? How might this affect the standing of Mayor Isko Moreno? Because you know what people have been saying, that the mayor is just another Duterte. And this might just further fuel that belief that there won't be any change there, because if he welcomes an endorsement, then that just further solidifies that whole perception. Lito.
Well, when Mayor Isko and Doc Willie Ong announced their candidacy in September 22 of this year, they never classified themselves as opposition or pro-administration. They simply said that they had a mission to accomplish. They were applying for a job to help the Filipino people get through this pandemic and push the recovery of our economy. So whether or not whoever, I mean, that has been the official stand of Mayor Isko Moreno, that whoever wants to help, his help is welcome.
Talk to us about the current state of your campaign, Lito. How is it going so far?
Well, pretty well. We've been, I think we're the most well-traveled candidate. Mayor Isko is a busybody. He's been delivering 3 to 4 speeches every day on the campaign trail. And tomorrow we will be in Nueva Ecija, followed by Pampanga, followed by Bulacan for the rest of the week. No, and Parañaque as well. Mm. No, so it's been very busy. The other day he was in Candelaria, Chaong, and San Pablo City. No, so we'll keep moving all over the country.
Ashley, the current state of your campaign, how's it coming along so far?
Our candidates, Ting Lacson and Tito Soto, are doubly busy because they have, first of all, committed to passing the budget and seeing through the remaining their remaining duties in the Senate as a Senate President and a sitting Senator, respectively. Mm. So that alone takes a lot of their time for, you know, the better part of a week, plus the fact that they need to travel as well. I don't know about what Chairman Tito said about the most well-traveled. Our candidates are well-traveled as well. In fact, they're the first, well, Ting Lacson, to be specific, we're the first elected senator and now as a presidential candidate to travel to far-flung Pagasa Island. And this week also is pretty booked, pretty much in many places throughout the country. Today, being a holiday, Senator Lacson and Tito Soto chose to have a dialogue with our bus operators as well as members of our trucking industry. Mm. Two very important cogs of our transportation system. Importante po ito dahil dalawang sector po ito pinakapektado dahil itong pandemya. Mm-hmm. So as to the other plans, we also have our regular online pumustahan where our candidates, albeit either in Zoom or sometimes, well, most of the time actually they are on-site pero nakokonect na po sila sa iba't ibang lugar, sa isang probinsya, for example, para po makipagkumustahan at mahihayag ang kanilang mga plataforma. And this has been a very effective tool for us, given the fact that we also have to observe our health protocols. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to add to the infection rate of our countrymen. So while we are traveling, we are moving around, we are having dialogues, we are also very keen on observing our health protocols.
Ashley, very quickly on the trip to Pag-asa Island, what can you say to the observation that that was nothing but a mere publicity stunt on the part of the senator?
Well, Carmina, first of all, if you look at practical benefits, there are no practical benefits to going there. Ang kapakakonti lang ang botante doon. But it's important also for a future president and commander-in-chief, as well as the chief architect of our foreign policy, to be clear right from the get-go kung anong plano niya when he becomes president, when it comes to the issue of the West Philippine Sea as well as our position in these contested areas.
Okay.
Klaro naman po sa pinahayag niya na ipaglalaban po ang ating sovereign rights, ating sovereignty and our territory in these areas.
Is that something that you're planning to do as well, Lito, go to Pag-asa Island?
No, I don't think so. Mayor Isko Moreno made a very important statement when he was in Botolan, Zambales, which, as you know, have fishermen who were badly affected by the incursions into the West Philippine Sea by Chinese fishermen as well as the Chinese Coast Guard. And he said there very succinctly that we will be fearless in fighting for our sovereign rights, but we will be fair in dealing with different nations, be it China or our allies, the United States, Australia, and others, because all of these are born out of faith in the Filipino, that we will always protect our sovereign rights and our fishermen to be given the right to fish in the West Philippine Sea.
Ashley, you mentioned a while ago that Senator Ping Lacson and Senator Tito Soto were the first one out there. And, you know, you're correct. They were actually the first one to offer a really solid platform to the people, first one to engage the people in their campaign, having the tour of Luzon initially. But how would you explain, despite the energy that you're putting out there, that both candidates are putting out there, how would you explain the poor showing in recent surveys?
Well, our candidates are not really driven by the surveys. Carmina, the surveys are merely a snapshot of a point in time. So it's not indicative really of what the ultimate trajectory of our candidates will be. Secondly, yes, they give us a practical dose, of course, of reality. But more importantly, this gives us that fuel, more energy, no? To put into the campaign. More needs to be done, more places need to be gone to, and of course, more people need to be talked to and heard from. Kasi ultimately, sila rin naman ang magbibigay ng itong mga bungkahi ng mga gusto natin solusyonan. No? And we also, it's important to hear from the people because ultimately, they must be the one to benefit from the kind of governance that Ping Lacson and Tito Soto are offering come 2022.
Conversely, Lito, you know, when you talk about surveys, Mayor Isko Moreno was high up there from the get-go. He entered this whole season hot. And yet now, in recent surveys, you could see that, you know, it has affected his numbers because of, you know, some are saying the wrong things that he said specifically in that meeting or the meet and greet that he had with the fisher folk and other missteps, as some would say, along the way. How would you counter this now? And first of all, do you believe that these snafus really affected his numbers, and what's the game plan to sort of bring him back on top?
Well, the most important phenomenon that we see in the surveys of the last days or the last weeks of October very clearly shows a surge for Ferdinand Marcos Jr., especially when Mayor Sara Inday Sara Duterte joined him as a vice presidential candidate. So that is the most important thing there. But as again, these are snapshots of a particular moment in time. And I do not see anything wrong with the statements of Mayor Isko Moreno. And I believe that we are on message and we are on track. Slowly but surely going up there.
Mm. Lito, tell me about the real issues at play here. You and I both know that in 2016, early surveys were showing that illegal drugs were really a concern of the people then. But it wasn't picked up by the rest. Obviously, there was one candidate who zeroed in on this, and that made him win the 2016 election. So come 2022, what do you think are the real issues at play here?
I think we're not talking of a single issue these days, precisely because of the pandemic that has ravaged the economy. So a candidate these days cannot stand on a single issue, unlike in 2016 when, one, the economy was relatively doing well and the problem was one of peace and order following Mama Sapano, and the drug menace. And that is why Mayor Duterte at that time latched on to that single issue of fighting the war on drugs. But this time, a candidate cannot focus on just one issue. He would have to focus on how to get us through the pandemic, number one. Number two, how to bring about economic recovery. How do we restore jobs and livelihood opportunities that have been lost on account of the pandemic? We have the economy is moribund. The fiscal situation negative. The indebtedness of the Philippines is reaching almost 13 trillion. There are so many problems. And every candidate for president will have to address all of these issues altogether.
Ashley, your thoughts on that, the real issues at play here?
Well, precisely, Carmina, and I'd like to take off from what Chairman Lito were narrating in terms of problems that the next president will be facing. And indeed, no, it's the pandemic is still there, and we need to jumpstart our economy as soon as we get out of this pandemic. We need to revive our micro, small, and medium enterprises. Our children have fallen behind in terms of their education. There's been some big disruption in terms of the delivery of education. The promise of the massive infrastructure spending under this administration has yet to be realized, and that needs to be realized fully by the next administration. But not just the regular infrastructure in terms of roads, bridges, and the like. No, but we also need to lay out massive ICT infrastructure. And precisely, Carmina, the trip in the West Philippines, he also emphasized, no, it is merely a snapshot of the kind of problems that we need to face in terms of the regional geopolitics here, no, with China being present there, and the U.S. Trying to reassert again its role in the Indo-Pacific. All of these need a seasoned hand at the helm, Carmina. And nobody, and I say nobody, in any ticket outside of ours can present that kind of experience, that competence, that integrity that is required to handle all of these problems that have been, that Chairman Lito and I agree, you know, need to be faced full on by the next president.
Yeah, and because Lito said that there's no one single issue in the run-up to the 2022 elections, that's where it becomes tricky. Because everyone is saying the same thing, and everyone is promising change. So the question now is, Lito, how do you make your campaign, for both of you actually, separate and distinct from the messaging that's coming from the administration or from any other candidate for that matter? Lito, let me go to you first.
Well, the messaging of the administration is continuity. There is no question that there has to be continuity when you talk of the good things that this government has started, such as the Build, Build, Build initiative of President Duterte. The war on drugs, for instance, has to be continued, even if different methods may have to be utilized this time. But we will have to differ on the approach to the West Philippine Sea issue that has been forcefully stated by my candidate for president, Mayor Isko Moreno. And we have posited various approaches to how we can revive the economy and how we can bring back jobs and livelihood opportunities to many millions of Filipinos who have suffered through this pandemic. Even us, in a very concrete manner, we have chosen a non-politician and, in fact, a medical doctor to become our vice presidential candidate, so that he could focus almost singularly on not just the pandemic, but the healthcare system, because our health system, as proven by how we approached the pandemic, is woefully inadequate, not to prevent future pandemics, let alone solve daily health problems of the Filipino people.
Ashley, how do you make your approach different and separate from what the other candidates have been saying?
Well, I guess it all boils down to messaging, Carmina. And you have a point there when you say that almost every candidate promises the same thing as the next one. But in the case of Ping Lacson and Dito Soto, when we talk about integrity, for example, who among those running for president can truly say that they have not been tainted by issues with regard to their integrity. Ting Lacson is the only candidate on record who has continually refused his pork barrel, and nobody else can claim that. Secondly, when you talk about the ability, for example, to lead as commander-in-chief, who was able to discipline an organization such as the Philippine National Police. He was able to do that as chief PNP. And in fact, the PNP enjoyed its highest approval rating during his time at the helm. And third, again, going back to experience, he has on offer 50 years so far of government experience, unparalleled impact across all of the other candidates, Carmina. So when you talk about experience, competence, and integrity, when the candidate says that, and my candidate, Ting Lacson, says that, he is able to walk the talk, actually.
You know, gentlemen, we were talking about issues a while ago. What are the issues at play? And none of you mentioned the Marcos Duterte issue. Some people have been saying that should be the issue in 2022. Do you believe that the return of the Marcoses or preventing the continuity of a Duterte regime should be the main issues here? Tell me your reasons as to why you believe this is so, or why you don't believe that it should even be an issue. Lito, let me go to you first.
Survey after survey has shown that the Filipino people are in desperate straits. What concerns them is the politics of the stomach, jobs, livelihood, food prices, inflation in general. The economy is what has hit them in the gut, principally because of the pandemic. So these are the major issues in the minds of the Filipino people. It is not about an oppositionist, a totally oppositionist stance to a Duterte continuum. And there is no Duterte continuum when you see very clearly, one, the Sara Duterte is running for vice president, and the presidential candidate of President Duterte, Senator Bongo, has already withdrawn from the race. Now, speaking of the Marcos issue, our position is very simple. We have not forgotten what the Marcoses have done. We do not believe in the capability of Ferdinand Marcos Jr. to bring back the economy, you know, considering that during their time, they ravaged the economy completely. You know? So we do not believe in that. No? So that is the issue. The issue here is what is it that you can do for the people. It is not a question of fighting, you know, political clans fighting among each other or between each other. It is not a case of yellows versus reds or blues or whatever color there is. It is a matter of what is there that you can do for the Filipino people in these very parlous circumstances.
And what you can do for the Filipino people is to prevent another Marcos from occupying the palace. Is that something that you will really put your energy into and prevent from happening?
Definitely.
Let me go to Ashley now. What are your thoughts about the return of a Marcos to the palace? And do you even think that this should be an issue in the upcoming elections?
Well, it will certainly be foolish, Carmina, for any campaign to ignore the Marcos and Duterte factor. The fact that they are figuring prominently in surveys is one reason alone, or enough reason for each campaign to reckon with them. However, as what Chairman Lito has said, if the Philippines or us Filipinos continue to define our politics according to the families that lord over us, or the color that that is carried by each of these families or these political parties, then again, that will be to our peril. Because this will shift the focus from our problems to personality politics, which is precisely what's bedeviling us all these years. And that is why Ting Lacson and Tito Soto, as part of their campaign's aim is to elevate the discourse. Let's elevate the discourse to the problems that we are facing. And these have been well documented. The pandemic is staring us in the face. Our economy is in tatters. Our children are falling behind. They won't be as competitive coming into this next few decades. And, you know, we need to address all of this, not to mention the fact that we have a regional hegemon that will be threatening us in the years to come. Somebody has to be able to stand up to that country and to be able to handle these problems and stare down these problems. Mm. And, you know, what is being offered by the younger Marcos, as well as the daughter of the incumbent president, needs to be validated. Yes, they are the children of prominent politicians before them, but we have in our tandem a solid lineup, a presidential candidate and a vice presidential candidate whose record speaks for itself. Mm. And when candidates make claims, it has to be vetted against their record, Carmina. And that is why I am confident that eventually, as the campaign drags on and we are able to send our message across more sectors, across more people, they will see that indeed what our tandem is offering in terms of solutions is also backed up by experience as well as their integrity and moral courage.
Okay, final minutes with you guys. I want to ask you a couple of questions more. Lito, when you look internally, when you map out your strategy, what or who are you up against?
Well, we're up against, what, 6 other candidates, no? Of course, you always keep tab of the surveys to find out who are the toughest of your competition.
And who are those? And,
well, right now, it's clear that Bongbong Marcos or Ferdinand Marcos Jr. is the man to beat. No, that's quite clear. And so that is obviously the first problem that we have to surpass.
Ashley, what or who are you up against? Do you share that same sentiment that it's Marcos Jr.?
Chairman Lito is a spot on when it comes to that point in the presidential derby. Our work is cut out for us along that point, Carmina. We're just happy that at least in the vice presidential survey, we just need to protect our lead in the person of Tito Soto. Mm. Now, that being said, our tandem has also offered what will probably be an unprecedented council of two, meaning if they both make it, we will have, for the first time in our leadership history, a president and a vice president who will be working in tandem, who will be consulting constantly with each other. And I think it's high time that we have that kind of leadership, Carlina. That's why it's important really for us to put in a good fight coming into February when the formal campaign starts. But right now, we're easily, we're slowly rather gaining in the race. In fact, when we started tracking the polls early this year, from a low 2%, Ping Lacson has been consistently rising. And we're confident that from the last survey for this year, he will be in double digits and he might be within the first 3 spots, Carmina. And we're hopeful that that will be the result of the next surveys that will come out for the remainder of the year. Okay. And we're happy so far, Carmina, with the gains that we've had in this developing campaign.
Very quickly now, Ashley, before we let you go, obviously you're now the spokesperson of Partido Reforma, speaking for Senators Lacson and Tito Soto. What made you decide to go with them when the rest of the Magdalo Party party list group is supporting now Vice President Eleni Robredo? You have Senator Trillanes there along with the rest of the Magdalo, which the party list which you represented in Congress before.
Well, it's an old untold story, really, Carmina. I left the party 3 years ago na. So, katagal na yan. So, it's actually, there will be people who will be surprised. It's only those who have learned of this for the first time. But as far as my former party mates and my former comrades are concerned, that's already a long settled issue as far back as 3 years ago.
Okay. And Chairman Lito, you know, you helped put President Duterte into power. What made you decide to support Mayor Isko Moreno now? And how will this be different from your Isko run? How is this product different from your previous product?
Well, I can't make comparisons on Mayor Isko vis-a-vis Mayor Duterte when he ran for president in 2016. But I believe personally that there must be continuity, but continuity, an improved kind of continuity. So there must be differences among the thrusts or policies of President Duterte, even as we continue what good things he has done, such as the build, the war on drugs, no, and other issues that he has done very well. So I don't see any incompatibility with that. As I said, Mayor Isko is not an oppositionist per se. He is not running against the Duterte brand. He may be running against the Marcos brand, as I think all other candidates are running against that brand. But I don't think we are running against the Duterte brand. It is continuity with improvements and continuity adjusted to present situations so that we can give a better future for our children and grandchildren.
And we're going to have to leave it at that. Former MECA chairman Lito Banayo there and former Magdalo Party Least Representative Ashley Acedillo. Gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate the talk we just had. Take care and you keep safe.
Thank you very much, Carmina.
Take care.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carmina.
Thanks a lot. Now, our in-depth discussions with officials and spokespersons of the 2022 presidential candidates continues next Tuesday. We'll be speaking to the spokesman of Vice President Lenny Robredo, Attorney Barry Gutierrez, to check in on their campaign. And that'll do it for today. Thank you for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit today's episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback is newscast on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the News Channel.